Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius of Kent State University, and this week, contributing editor Dr. Teresa O'Halloran converses with Dr. Mark Manzanares, associate professor in counselor education at Adams State College, about developing an online counselor training degree.
I'd like to begin today by having you tell us about really your background in using online technology in counselor education, your interests maybe.
Okay. Well, actually, I started back in 1998-99 just as a, experimentation of working with online. I had just started my doctoral studies at Colorado State University, and they were using a new, form of education, which was they called it a supplemental online. So we weren't fully online, but we were integrating online web-based instruction with our face-to-face instruction. And through that, I was actually focusing my specialty in distance learning and online learning as part of my program. Getting used to the technology and working with it at Colorado State University, I was then approached by our dean at the time, who was starting to experiment with online learning. And he had asked me if I would help in working with the online program for the teacher education program at Adams State College. I brought in a program that actually, it was a course management system that was an experimental course management system at the time. It was called WebCT. We were using a different company that was servicing the course management system that just wasn't being effective. So they asked if I would be willing to try to, integrate this new program into ours, and I did, and we started to grow. At that point in time, I introduced supplemental online courses into the counselor education program, using it for journaling in some of the experiential classes, using it in a way for us to put other material online while the students were in their online classes, and it just started to grow, and the chair, the dean, and the faculty all supported in starting to take these courses in fully online classes. So as we started to grow and me going through school, focusing on this type of technology, and then working with it day-to-day, hands-on, with all the counselor education faculty and the dean and the chair, we just started to grow. And the experience, developed.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I understand now that Adams State College provides a full program online as well as online courses for their traditional students?
Yeah. In January of this year, we launched our fully online program. Now, a lot of people would start to wonder, wait, fully online? To understand what fully online for our counselor education philosophy is that we have, it's online, fall, spring, summer. But for the first 2 years, we bring the students on campus we have them do their experiential component of the class on the campus for that week-long session. And then they go back out and do the online. Next year they come back, they follow up their experiential courses, and then we're done from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Sounds exciting.
It's exciting, it's new, and we're on a new frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Online education, although people may say it's been around, truly online education we're somewhat pioneers. And so here we are in counselor education trying this experiential process to online courses, and we're just seeing how it goes. And so far it seems to be working.
Great. Great. So it does sound like you see some positives, and I wonder if you'd talk some more about what are some of the strengths of online counselor education.
Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest strength of online counselor education is the obvious of meeting the needs of non-traditional students or working adults not being able to take the time out to do school. They've been wanting to for years. They thought about it, but a lot of the people in there have families, have careers. It's almost like me, Teresa. When I was asked to go and get my PhD, and I had a family. I just came out of one career where I went out and bought a house. I had the cars, I had bills, and I had a family. And I couldn't just traditionally quit and go to school and then come back and start a career again. I just couldn't do that. It wasn't feasible for me. So being able to find a program that met working professionals and adult learners was the only way and the best way that I could approach this.
Mm-hmm.
And with that philosophy of knowing that there are people out there, some really good people who really want to get the education that could benefit the profession, and you go to them rather than the tradition of them coming to you, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I've always truly believed in, whether you're using your course management system for supplemental or online, is it gives an opportunity for everyone in the class to interact and participate. And a lot of traditional face-to-face classes, we're sitting in a lecture hall, an instructor asks the question, three or four people, maybe because of time constraint, can really put a lot of feedback into a course. And that's a great philosophy. Throughout a semester, you can get people involved if, you know, everyone gets involved. But what happens is a lot of times the one student that just struggles, has a little problem, you know, a few problems, just really jumping up there and saying things, kind of gets down and it gets a little quiet. So with online learning, it provides, you know, I ask a question, instead of having two or three, now you have 20 people who are in the class, all giving feedback to what's happening in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates more of a magic, more of a learning environment, a student-centered learning environment.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, many strengths. And I agree. I also find that the dialogue or the discussion online is very rich. It gives students time to think through responses, whereas mm-hmm. in the classroom there's that time crunch or nervousness maybe of a student in getting an answer in or getting it right. out in a form that, you know, that they are comfortable with.
Right. You know, I've asked many students in my teachings, you know, after the fact, I'll say, you know, I noticed you didn't really participate, answer a lot of questions. And you know, you're talking with him, you're saying, it sounds really good what you have to say. Just say, you know, I didn't want to ask that question because I didn't want to feel like I'm the only one that wasn't getting it. Or I didn't think I was as smart as everyone else in the class. Then you get those same people in an online environment. It's so, like you said, it's so rich and mm-hmm. so involved and deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, this is a different person.
Mm-hmm.
But they have that opportunity to think, process, and then type. As
right.
opposed to just throw it out there, they may be a little insecure about how they speak, how well things come out, and they just rather hold back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm recognizing as we're talking here that we should probably we should probably backtrack a tad
mm-hmm.
and make sure that we describe for people what WebCT is or what an online environment is.
Mm-hmm.
Could you take a few minutes?
Well, WebCT is a course management system. Course management system are a set of tools that are used in an online environment to assist a student in learning. I look at it in this way, and as I describe it to students as I go out and train them, I'm actually the WebCT administrator on our campus. So not only do I teach on campus, I actually administer it, build the courses, put the students in, so on and so forth. So WebCT as a course management system is a virtual campus. It has everything from a lobby. If you use WebCT or for people who are familiar with WebCT, it would be like a hallway. The My WebCT is the hallway to the class. Then you have each of your courses listed. As you click, it's like walking into a classroom. The only difference is you're not seeing the instructor face to face, but there's a discussion board. And the discussion board is a bulletin board. Everything you write, everybody in the class will see. There's a private mail, so it's almost like a private interaction with an instructor or a classmate where no one else sees. We have chat rooms. There's a syllabus tool. There's a place to put your assignments, a place to turn in your assignments. In an online environment, we tend to call assignments modules. And a module can be a chapter out of a book. A module could be a section out of a part of a chapter, but it's an assignment, basically, that they use. So when the student logs into WebCT, they click in their class, and they would have all the communication tools to be able to interact in an online environment. Whether it be synchronous, meaning at the same time, everybody getting on their computer, everyone's sitting there at the same time like a chat room, and they learn in a synchronous environment or asynchronous. And asynchronous to me is probably one of the biggest, in my opinion, mine only, biggest benefits of online learning. And it was for me because of one reason. Because I had that family, I would always wait till my family was in bed and asleep, and then I would log in and do all my work. I had a colleague who was a morning person, and she would actually go in at 5 in the morning and do all her work. And here we had this incredible, rich interaction that was delayed because of time, but yet we were able to interact at different times of the day. And that's the process of that course management system, with the tools that you need to interact and the time to be able to interact. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you were alluding to?
Yes, I wanted people to get a sense of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's part of it as well is being able to put exams on online.
Right. The difference between online, and here's where there's some challenges to online learning. It's a different concept. It's a different paradigm. There's a lot of, you know, question. When you put on a test, how do you know the student's taking the test? Well, you don't really, you can't always guarantee, and you don't always know. But in a cohort, especially in counselor education, you tend to know your students throughout the process of learning online. And in online learning of any type, you learn as a faculty member to assess students not only on a quiz. You can put that quiz online. You can put it in multiple choice and matching, short answer, paragraph, like essay style. But you, looking at that test and also assessing them through their bulletin board discussions, assessing them through the papers that they do, you're able to get a consistency. So if all of a sudden you see a consistent set of standards from a student and it, all of a sudden it bounces up or it drops down on a test, on a traditional post-it test, you have to question what's going on here. Rather than just all of us, all your whole class is written lecture, and then all of a sudden you give them a test to try to assess them. So online learning is a different environment than just walking in, lecturing, testing, and going from there.
Right.
But I think counselor education as a culture itself doesn't do that traditional type of learning as you would see in an undergraduate type program.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot more interactive and expecting involved from the students a great deal, right? Okay, well, great. So we have a sense of some of the strengths and what the online environment is like. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that you see?
The challenges is change in paradigm. Walking out of a lecture hall and walking into an online environment does take some change, both on the student's perspective and on the faculty's perspective. You got to come in willing to take the risk to grow, as we do in counselor education, and go beyond the fact that, oh, you can't do this in counseling. Counseling just doesn't look that way, and you have to take that risk to try it and look at it in different ways. Challenges is making sure that your students are getting the proper training to go into an online environment, that their hardware, computers, whatever software that they need to be able to function well is working, and that you have a good enough support staff that when they are having problems, that they have somewhere to go to make sure that they're getting the needs that they need met. Making sure that the students understand that the learning is there. There's a famous study out there called No Significant Difference. It's a phenomenon of no significant difference, and it's research studies that have consistently shown that there's no significant difference between face-to-face and online learning. And, you know, I hear that all the time. I'll go and talk to someone. I'm starting up a new program, helping another school start up a new program, and they're like, well, our faculty just struggle with going online because they just don't think you could learn in that type of environment. And it, you know, research after research shows that there really isn't a significant difference of academic achievement on learning. There may be a difference in academic satisfaction, but that's based on many factors, training, accessibility to computers, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So as I look at the challenges, it's there are many challenges, and we will talk shortly about some of the challenges of time constraints for faculty, work for students, in the perceptions. But I think that's mainly what it is, in my opinion, is just making sure that your students have accessibility to the course management system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've taught. mm-hmm. in an online environment extensively.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, you know, maybe you can share some of the, as you look back as a faculty member, some of the challenges.
Challenges. Well, I think challenges are helping students understand how the learning process, and how they're being evaluated, and that the learning process needs to involve their active participation. They cannot just be sitting in the back of the room like some students might mm-hmm. do in a regular classroom. So I think that's a process of educating or a culture change that happens with the students. That was a challenge initially, I think. But now students are accustomed to learning in this environment and appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
the independence of it, the freedom mm-hmm. of it. And I think the richness. I just finished teaching diagnosis online using, you know, the course focused on the DSM. And the feedback from students is that they can't believe how much they've learned, the richness of the course. And we use a case study model for teaching that course. And so it's very applied. Mm-hmm. It's not abstract in any way. It's really very applied.
Right.
So, and then the challenges for faculty are the time. I mean, writing a module is like writing a book chapter, and it takes lots of research and time. And I think it probably takes, we usually have 8 modules for a course, and mm-hmm. Each module probably, if you're starting from scratch, takes me, I'm kind of a slow writer, takes maybe 15, 20 hours to write. But once it's written, you can just modify it, and it's much better the second sure. time around.
Yeah, and it is much, you're right. Starting up a course is tough. It's a bear in a way. As you build the course and you teach it over time, it gets a little bit easier. But there's still the discussions, the interactions with the students. It's sometimes we can get in this mindset of a lecture class. You ask that one question, you get the few answers, and then you move on. Now you're getting, like I said, 20 answers, and a lot of times those answers, they want a response as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn how to respond on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, if you try to respond to every student, it would just overwhelm you. Where you learn to code, you learn to look at the consistency of questions, the similarities between other discussion questions, and then you respond as a whole rather than just, you know, privately
mm-hmm.
Responding. And there are times where you do have to respond individually.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I've learned to code
mm-hmm.
and try to answer as many questions in a bulk than I do having to go in individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of chunk your mm-hmm. response to their concerns or their thinking anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, so how do you think counselor education programs who can assist students in learning to learn in this fashion?
Well, you know, that's a tough question. How do you teach a student to learn in an online environment? A lot of mine is just teaching them to use the technology early on so they can put the anxiety and stress of that aside. That way they can open up their minds to be able to learn the content of what they need to learn for the program. I learned that in my experience of being the tech administrator and the WebCT administrator. When we were first starting this, and not just in counselor education, but the teacher education program here at Adams State, we were putting it online. We were traveling to sites, training the students how to use it, and it was really a positive transition. Then we got to a point where we're getting a little bit big and we're starting enough programs up that we weren't able to go out and physically train these students. And we started to notice the calls from students, the anxieties of students, the problems were starting to rise in terms of the help desk. We then created a CD-ROM on how to use WebCT and started to distribute it to these students as well as going out and training the students. So we'll do both. And we noticed that our help calls went down. I did my dissertation on the satisfaction of counselor education students using WebCT in a counselor education program just to see what was going on. And I was measuring learning style and satisfaction of taking online courses in the counseling program. I was uncertain how it was going to come out, but when it ended, it was incredibly positive. It was a surprise in a ways to me that there was such a surprise. Such a satisfaction of students using it. And when it came out, it was that their fears are the technology. And when they go into a program and they find out they're going to have to take online courses, anxiety shoots up, learning goes down. And once we were able to get rid of the anxiety of the technology, learning went up, anxiety went down. Hmm. And that's one of the things that I was looking at.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. And it takes a lot of technology support and sort of manpower, woman power, to help students when they're first using WebCT. Maybe you could say some things about your both technology and personnel support for this kind of program.
Okay. It's interesting. You're right. You do need a lot of help. You need a lot of support for the students. But Adams State College has been able to do it since 1998 with one administrator, which is myself, and a graduate student that works 2 hours a day. I'm tired, but you're able to do it. And the reason for it is the first thing that somebody who's interested in doing a course management system or going online is get a good quality course management system, one that's reliable. We started out and went with a course management system that wasn't reliable, and it was just headache after headache. We had the help desk telling students, well, it works on our end. It must be your problem. Go out and pay and have somebody fix your computer. Rather than looking at students and saying, you're having a lot of problems. Let's try to work this out, and taking the time to do it. And we have been able to do this. And now we have over 360 courses using WebCT, not just counselor education, but throughout the campus, and me as the administrator. And we have well over 4,000 seats. A seat is a student taking a class. They may be, one student could actually fill two or three seats, but we have over 4,000 seats being used for WebCT. And I think that we do it fairly successfully because of the fact that we are there to meet their needs. We created a CD-ROM for students that any student that applies to Adams State College receives a CD-ROM that uses what is called Robo Demo, or what is now Captivate from Macromedia. And it shows them in video how to use the program. There's screenshots that are in video form that shows them how to use the program. So now a student, once they get that, before they even log on for the first time, can just kind of get this video of what they're going to be using. They get in there, and then they can call us if they have any problems or issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with me, myself and a graduate assistant, it easily can be done in a counseling program. It's a little stronger when you go out beyond your counseling program.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, one of the things that you need to look at is hardware. First of all, is your school does your school already currently have a course management system? And I think anybody that's interested in starting a counseling program in an online environment, just hardware-wise, I think the first thing to do is contact your school's computing services and find out if there is a current course management system there. If there is, and there's a policy that you have to use it, then talk about what kind of support is there, or do we support it ourselves? Do you support it? Are the servers new? You have to ask these types of questions. And by all means, if anyone's ever interested in wanting to find out more in a more one-to-one, they can contact me and I can go over the process of how to start that up. But once you find out there's a course management system, or if you choose to bring a course management system on campus, you need to work closely with your computing services to make sure that you're meeting the college's standards for this.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can support something, or if not, that you have somebody within your department that can support this.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to make sure that once you have support, the type of training that is available out there. And then once that's done, my biggest recommendation that I would give, or my biggest two recommendations, is bring somebody on campus. Adams State College brought Bill Draves from the Learn Network. We brought him on campus to give us a workshop. Now, Teresa, what's interesting was when we brought Bill Draves on campus, it was surprising that we had already have gone, we were there. We had been teaching supplemental courses. We had developed enough that when he came on campus, we were there. So we learned from his, you know, tips and tricks, but we had been doing it for a while. So my second recommendation, first, is bring somebody on campus to give your faculty lectures on how to teach online. The second thing would be start slowly. Don't just one day say we're starting an online class and no one in the department has taught online. Start with supplementals. Integrate your supplementals into your regular program. Then do an online class for your regular program. Do a few online classes throughout the semester. Get each of your faculty interested in teaching online, teaching a current class to an online program, and then look at launching your online program. But I can only imagine that it'd be pretty scary in some ways to just say, tomorrow we're starting a program and building from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of preparation, mm-hmm. and especially around training and having the correct equipment, technology available. And then you're also, I guess, inferring that there needs to be financial support from the college. Do you have a sense of how much WebCT program costs?
Well, yeah, you know, WebCT, the first thing I would do is, first of all, look at your course management systems. Some are open source. There's open source course management systems that are free. The problem with the free ones is you have to have somebody on campus that's good enough to be able to work with those types of programs. WebCT in 1998 was basically free. I mean, I think we paid $25 for 100 students. It was an open source program. It now since has grown into a corporate program, and now they merge with Blackboard, and so it's even larger than it, you know, it was before. But you can look at a course management system like Moodle, which is open source, but you have to have somebody on your campus that's good enough to be able to work with that. And then it could be just fine. WebCT, which provides all that for you, is based on your college's FTE. At Adams State College, we pay, you know, about $20,000 a year for the license. We house WebCT on our campus, on our own servers. And so we have a person in our computing services that spends, in all honesty, very little time working on the WebCT server. That's how stable WebCT is. So he sets it up, and then he turns it over to me as the WebCT administrator to make sure everything's working fine. We're getting students in, so on and so forth. We have just introduced a new tool to support our course management system, and it's called Horizon Live Wimba. And Horizon Live Wimba is a two-way interactive audio chat. So it takes away that thought that I can't teach online, my students need to hear me. The great thing about Wimba is you're in a chat room, audio, so you can hear them, they can hear you, the whole class is there. So it's almost like a class face-to-face. The only difference is they can't see you. And in some cases, some of my students probably wouldn't want to see me. They'd like to hear me, but they may not want to see me. So it brings an opportunity for me to, if I'm the type of teacher who likes to teach in a face-to-face environment, now I can take it to an online environment, but I'm still talking like we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've added Wimba, we have WebCT, and we have the training support. And the training support can, you know, the prices vary. I am a counselor education faculty member who I was hired to support our WebCT. If they were going to go out and hire a person to support it, or if the college doesn't have a person to support it, then it can be, you know, a considerable cost to the institution to hire a tech person to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it for the price of the license, getting somebody trained within your department to support it, and it can be done.
It seems like we might have covered this. Is there anything else you'd recommend?
Yeah, I would, like I said, let me just reiterate mm-hmm. that again real briefly. First of all, bring a consultant on your campus. Pay a little bit of money up front. A consultant like the Learn Network, Bill Draves, or another school colleague. A lot of times colleagues will be glad to share their experiences of what it was like to teach and to, you know, to share their experiences. In addition to that, you want to make sure that you have, you know, the support within, that you're training the students to be able to teach online, and just make sure that you have everybody on board who believes that this is a viable source of education.
Great. Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears a little bit and focus on, so what's it like for faculty who teach in this fashion? I think I referred to it briefly before, but I've seen reports that suggest that online education takes 3 to 10 times more time for faculty. What's your experience and what recommendations do you have for faculty?
Yeah, it is a lot more time. But, you know, this is my belief only, and I think, what's my role as an instructor? Building a course, and we talked about how much time is involved to get it started. It takes a lot of time. What I think is important with our program is we're not an online correspondence program. We don't put all the modules up online and the students do them and turn them in. We stick with our cohort philosophy here at ASC. You start at the beginning of the semester and you progress through the semester. We, meaning several of the faculty here, will put a module at a time. I've learned that if you put more than one module, the students try to get ahead, they want feedback right away, and it throws everything off. So we do things in sections. Put a module, do your discussions, your activities, your reading, assessment. Put a module, the next module, so on and so forth. You don't allow students to go ahead. You just stay with a traditional semester-type course situation. With that being said, a lot of times as you're building your course, you're able to make your changes to your modules as they go from one semester. So it's not like you have to have everything all set up and launch it on that particular day. You can actually, and I like this in my philosophy as students, a student-centered philosophy, is that you can grow with your students. An example of this is I was teaching a research course. Now, I could have just lumped that whole research class up on WebCT and allowed the students to just battle through it. But I was looking at discussions. I was looking at the students' questions, their anxieties, their fears, their struggles, to be able to build on my next module when I would put it up. And that way we were able to, one, stay with the schedule, but two, I was able to meet those students' needs so their anxieties wouldn't be as high as they could have been. So it does take a lot of time. You are reading a lot more, but the students' end result and the enrichment that they're feeling and in the satisfaction that they're getting out of the courses, kind of washes, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Other faculty may say it's just too much work, but it does require time.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about for you, but for me, I've found that it's helpful for me to have a schedule for myself. Mm-hmm. Just like if we had a 3-hour class, we would meet, say, Tuesday evening from 6 to 9. Well, it's helpful for me to know that on Mondays, I post the new module every other week, and on Tuesdays, I spend time with my course intensively, 3 to 5 hours, doing my responses to their discussion and responding mm-hmm. to assignments and that sort of thing. And then the grading outside of class, like we always have. So
mm-hmm.
it's somewhat comparable. I think we just have to have the self-discipline. I've had to learn some more mm-hmm. self-discipline to stay on top of the course.
Right. Yeah, see, I taught myself to, I took on this philosophy when I was doing it, and it's worked for me, is I started to teach a course, and I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my time Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from this time to this time. So I would put like 3 hours on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday that I would just work on those courses. And then I had to learn this for myself that I wasn't going to use my weekends. What you asked a question earlier, how can we teach students to learn online? One of the things you teach them are the boundaries. The boundaries that, and I've had to tell students, do I sit in my classroom 2 days before class starts at the beginning of the semester and wait for students to come in and start asking me questions? And they're like, of course not. And I said, well, that's an online class too. Because you have to teach students that we're not just sitting there at our computer waiting for them to email us, and then the minute they email us, we turn around and respond to them. And there is sometimes that perception that we should be there at all times, all the time. And one of the things that I have had to teach students in the past is I'm not on all the time. I'm not just waiting for your posting, that I have certain days, and I outline that in my syllabus, that these are the days I'm here, these are my office hours, please contact me during that time. But if you get frustrated on a Sunday night at 11 o'clock because you emailed me and I hadn't emailed you back within an hour, I'm not just sitting there waiting. During the Christmas break, I'm not just sitting in my office waiting for students to come. I'm on a break. And so that was the one thing I have had to teach students to understand. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they do. But a lot of times they get a little anxious and they want you to. I've had students 2 days before school starts, could you put the first three modules up? I want to get started early. And I just say no. The class starts on this day and we'll go ahead and get started and follow the module. And they're pretty good about it.
Yeah, jumping a little bit off topic, but what you said reminded me of the importance of when we're teaching students how to learn online is, talking about and providing information about netiquette and, what is the appropriate way to discuss online. Yeah. I haven't ever had huge problems, but I think it's helpful to lay it out. I have written really just a one-page handout on netiquette for the courses. And that discusses language and being respectful, and we refer to professionalism as part of their training and tie it into WebCT behavior. Mm-hmm. And then also along with netiquette, but tips on how to be successful in a WebCT course, because it is different. They can't let themselves get behind.
No.
They can't put off the research paper until a week before it's due.
Right.
And get it all done. So, yeah, just reminded me of that netiquette idea.
Yeah, one of the things we learned, just the lessons learned, this being our first semester of going fully online, is we learned that not all students are ready to take an online course. So we are now seeking it's called online readiness surveys that we're going to put on our website so that it's going to say, are you ready for an online course? Are you ready for Counselor Ed Online? Take this survey. And there's several of them out there where you answer questions and they'll tell you what your readiness is for an online course.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did learn that there were some students that would come in thinking that it was either correspondence or thinking that it was, a regular type course. They weren't self-motivated and they fell behind and they weren't quite ready. So in the mind of thinking to support your students, if you can help them ahead by saying, I'm not ready for online. This is a bigger bear than I thought it was going to be, early before they even register, because you asked earlier about the cost, and as cost to the student, in terms of financial support from the institution, is if you have everything in place, tuition, I mean, it's not going to be, it's lucrative for the program because you get, you're getting more students. We're here at ASC, we're doing cash, it's a cash funded program, so we're getting that cash from the students themselves. And so it can create a little bit of that, fund generation. But on the other hand, you don't want to make a student upset because they thought they online was similar to traditional. They get in, they get behind, they can't catch up, they get frustrated, they drop. We want to think of the students. So if we can do upfront an online readiness, they know if they're ready or not, then they can have that chance to come in and be successful.
Oh, that's exciting. I look forward to hearing how that survey helps.
I'm hoping so.
Selecting students or advising students anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Well, you've shared a great deal here, and I wonder if you have any final thoughts. I think we've covered a great deal.
Well, first of all, apologize. Yeah, I'm the tech person in this department. So as we're sitting here talking, not anticipating the phone ringing off the hook and knocks out the door. But the one thing I'd say is, please, if you're interested, feel free to contact me. And we can have a discussion on what it's like. And there's plenty of faculty around our department that would be glad to share their experiences in how to successfully go online.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you so much. This is a great benefit to Counselor Audio Source audience, and appreciate it. We'll also be posting some possibly recommended reading for the listeners if they want further information, and your contact information will be available as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks again, Mark.
You bet. Thank you.
You've just heard an interview with Dr. Mark Manzanares by contributing editor Dr. Teresa O'Halloran about developing an online counselor training degree. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselorAudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.